Are you guys excited to get into God's word this morning? I hope so. Let me just encourage you not just to join us, but to put your seatbelt on, because today, we might just have a little church in church, all right? Get ready. Anyway, we're in a series called Talking to Jesus. It's a series on prayer, and I have declared that this is the summer of prayer. Amen. You're going to have to hit that slide for me. The summer of prayer. And, you know, as I was thinking about the summer of prayer, I think it should be like the year of prayer, right? Shouldn't it be like a life of prayer? But what I meant by that was that God was just calling us to a deeper season of prayer during the busiest time of our lives in the summertime. But I also know it's a time in which we can create more space and time to be with God. So we push pause on a lot of our activities because we want to create space and a place to pray. So on Wednesday nights, we're gathering as a church to pray. Hasn't it been awesome and powerful? I was away at a conference last week, but this week I'm really excited, looking forward to prayer on Wednesday night, looking for God to meet us. And on Thursday mornings, we've had a running prayer meeting for 14 years here at the church. Can you imagine that? We've had a nonstop prayer meeting for 14 years on Thursday mornings. And right now we have a small group of intercessors, and we just want to invite anyone that's maybe off on vacationing or you work evenings just to come with us and pray for 10 to 11 on Thursday mornings. And why is prayer so important? Well, first of all, prayer can be simply defined as talking to Jesus. How many know we need to do more talking to Jesus? We need to do more talking to God and just sharing our hearts with God. And prayer is to be an integral part of every life of a follower of Jesus. If you don't follow Jesus, you're new to church, you're just watching. I know you might be thinking, talk to Jesus? What kind of church is this? They talk to God? Yeah, we talk to God. And what's beautiful is that God listens. And not only does he listen, he also responds. Isn't that cool? No, we're not crazy. We're not hearing voices. This comes from a relationship, because communication, or I should say this, when there is no communication within a relationship, it's just two people. There needs to be communication to have a relationship, and God wants a relationship with you, and that begins by communicating, talking to him. Prayer is really important. Let me just remind you of what we talked about in last week, that without prayer, or a few weeks ago, without prayer, we lose connection with God. How many want to be more connected to God? We all do, right? It means we got to pray, talk to Jesus. We lose connection with God. We become distant from God. We lose the power of God. And we miss the blessing of God, because certain things won't happen unless we pray. In other words, Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Sometimes we have to ask to receive. Isn't that how we think in life, like with people around us? You know, we just tell them, well, you should have asked if you want something from us. Am I right? You should have just asked. And that's the way it is with God sometimes. You should have just asked. Like if you really wanted that French fry, you should have just asked. Could I have a fry? I would give you a fry. And God is saying, I have so many blessings for you, but some of them require you to ask. So ask, seek, knock, and it will be given to you. So today is week 5. Y'all ready for week 5? Today we're going a little deeper. We're going to be talking about warfare praying. Warfare praying. And today's title is, y'all ready? Oh, no, you didn't. So we went to a Yankees game a couple weeks ago, and we were standing, and we're letting some people go by, and they were confused with their seats, and we were just trying to work it out, and a lady 7-8 rows back starts F-bombing us. So we look back. Do we tell them what really happened, or no? We look back, but my wife gave her the Pastor Ruth, oh no, you did not just curse. Oh no, you didn't. How many know what I talk about when you go, oh no, you did not just F-bomb my boys. You just not did not F-bomb my family. Oh no, you didn't. Don't we think that sometimes when we go to the store and they're very disrespectful to you and you're like, oh no, you didn't just call me that. Right? You're driving, they cut you off. Oh no, you did not just cut me off. You just did not do that. It happened to me, but spiritually, a few years ago when we were looking for a house. And we spent several years in this process of home buying. First of all, this was during the time of when the bubble bursted back in 2009. And when we moved here, we had to short sale our house because the prices plummeted and we had to wait 3 years. The rule was you have to wait 3 years before you even qualify for another mortgage. So we were renting houses and apartments and we were just praying that God would give us a permanent home because we felt called here for the long haul. And in 2013, we were praying. And in 2014, we started the process of home buying. We finally qualified. It's released from our report, and we can, you know, banks aren't going to hold us accountable for that. So we're looking for a house, and we spent months looking for a house. And we were looking and looking. And it wasn't a seller's market. It was a buyer's market. Like, there were a ton of houses. Like a ton. And they were cheap back in that time, 2014, right? It was pretty cheap, the houses. So we were looking and looking, and we found a house that we really liked and was sitting on the market for a year. And we put a bid in, and our realtor would come to us and go, Joe, that house has sat on the market for an entire year. No one has put a bid in, but someone just outbid you. Like, what? That didn't happen to us once. It happened to us three times. And there was one house that we actually got the bid that we really liked, and they discovered there was a little pipe coming out of the foundation. They discovered it had an underground oil tank. And they wouldn't budge. They didn't want to deal with it, so we had to walk away from that. Then the last house we saw was our dream house. To us, was a dream house. And we put a bid in, and we got outbid again. And in November of 2013, I stopped. I gave up. I'm like, I'm tired. Have you ever been there? Like, you're tired of trying to find a car, a house, a wife. You know what I mean? A husband. I'm just tired. Like, I'm tired. So I just grew tired, and I'm done. And I was just mad. I was just mad at life. I don't know if I was mad at God. I'm just mad. Like, no good things coming to me. And, you know, this always happens. You know, I had a little pity party tantrum. Y'all have had that before. So I in this season, we stopped looking, and I said, you know what? My parents are coming. Oh, no, we wanted to get a dog. So what do you do when you're depressed? You get a dog, right? You think the dog is going to... What do you do when you're thinking, you know, get a dog. It'll make your life happy. That's what they say. So we found a dog, and the lady literally wanted to give us the dog. We go to the house. We see the dog. It was beautiful, trained, fully equipped. Didn't poop. Just one of those dogs that are perfect. And the next day, we say, all right, we'll take him. And they said, oh, I'm sorry. We didn't feel like you were the right owners. I said, what? I said, this is nuts. Like, what is going on? All right, so whatever. The kids are like, oh, we don't have a dog. Back in my mind, I'm like, yes, yes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, oh, the dog is. And I was just mad. You know, rejection is mad. You get mad. Like, what? I'm going to go over there and I'm going to steal that dog. I'm going to take that dog. That dog is ours. Oh, Rover's ours. All right. So then it was Thanksgiving. My dad was coming and my mom. And we had these temporary couches until we get to our house. So my dad had back problems. Now I'm thinking we're never going to find a house. So let me just get a recliner for my dad so he can relax and get his feet up. So I went on Marketplace or Craigslist, whatever it was in 2013. And I found a nice, easy chair for my dad. I don't know, pretty cheap, nice condition. So I said, all right, I'll pick it up on Friday. Rented the pickup truck. And right when I'm on my way, she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. We gave it to somebody who paid more. I said, I'm cursed. Like, I'm cursed. What is going on? So I remember just like going through these things, and I was just going through life, going through these things. And one morning there was a snow day and my kids were sleeping, and I woke up really early, and I was bothered by what I felt was going on in my life. Like, something's not right. You ever have that feeling? Like, this is not normal. Something ain't right. And as I sat there in prayer, the Lord began to speak to my heart about what really was going on. And I started reading some scripture, and John 10:10 popped out at me. And this is the verse that came up to me. John 10:10 in the NIV. This is what I read. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The thief, I've read this 100 times, but this time I'm like, the thief? Oh no, he didn't. That's what I said. I said, that's what's going on. The thief was stealing the blessings that God was releasing on my life. And when I read this verse, I said, oh my goodness, he's been robbing me. And then in that moment, the Spirit of God began to speak to me and remind me what happened a few months before this, earlier in the year of 2013. On a Sunday morning, because people knew we were at church, someone broke into our home and stole stuff. Stole jewelry, stole a computer. We got home from church one day and the door is open. And we're like, oh my God. And the Spirit of God began to speak to me and said, there's a spirit of thievery that has been released over your life. But just remember this, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But let me remind you what I have come to do. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So I said, Lord, what do I do? First of all, let me pause before I go there. First of all, let me just remind you that we are all engaged in a spiritual battle. And far more often than not, the struggles that we have can often be connected to the enemy that is against us. We may not realize it, but some things happen because of bad decisions, and some things happen because life happens, and sometimes you don't see the light on in the car for filling up gas, and you run out of gas because you didn't put gas. That's not the devil. That's just because you didn't see the light, right? Sometimes things happen because of poor decisions. Sometimes things happen because life happens. But you know what I'm learning as I'm growing older in my journey with God? That far more happens because the enemy is coming against you and against me. You see, if there is a God who loves us, who has a plan for us, who's all good, then there must be an adversary who is evil, who is in direct opposition to the things of God, the purposes of God. And God, throughout the scripture, constantly reminds us that we are in a spiritual conflict. Notice that 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be alert and sober-minded. Because who? Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking and looking for someone to devour. The enemy is seeking to devour us, to destroy us, but also to steal from us. The enemy wants to steal the blessings that God wants to has released over our life. The enemy wants to steal our potential. He wants to steal our marriage. He wants to steal our finances. He wants to steal things from our lives. He wants to rob us of our joy. He wants to rob us of our peace. He wants to rob us of our potential. He wants to rob us of our vision. He wants to rob us of our future. He wants to rob us of our divine destiny. The devil is out like a prowling, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, man, it's on. It's on. We are engaged in spiritual conflict. I want you to push pause before we continue because I just want to jump into this message. But push pause because I want to ask you, are there weird things going on in your life? Like, are there weird, is there weirdness happening? Are things happening that are not out of the ordinary? Are things happening consistently? Is there a battle that you feel in your heart and things don't make sense and things don't line up and you feel all this weirdness? And I just want to tell you that weirdness could be spiritual warfare. I started sensing this several months ago here at the church. I started sensing that we're entering a season of spiritual warfare, because the devil would want to do everything he can possibly to keep us from fulfilling our divine destiny, to keep me discouraged, to keep me down, to keep me from believing what God has for us in our future. And I realized there was a lot of weirdness happening, a lot of heaviness happening, a lot of conflicts happening, not with people, but just with my own soul and with life. And then a lot of disconnection with others and people. And I began to realize, OMG, I'm in a spiritual battle right now. And perhaps the conflict you're experiencing in your marriage is rooted in spirituality. Or the conflict you're having with your finances is dealing with spiritual, the enemy. You ever fix something and then something else breaks and then something else breaks and then you got like four or five things breaking down all at the same time? Well, first of all, if your washer and dryer are 25 years old and your car and fridge, maybe they just broke down. But if this weirdness happens, like, wait a second. There's something going on here. So as I began to, and then why? Let me keep going. I just want to jump into the story. But why? Because this next point is so important. The enemy comes against us because of who lives in us. Who lives in us? Who lives in us? Why do we have opposition? Because the moment you make a decision to follow Jesus, you become a target of the enemy. Just know that. And by the way, he wants to keep you from anything spiritual. The enemy wants to keep you from church. The enemy wants to keep you from reading the scriptures. The enemy wants to keep you from prayer. You ever notice that this season that we're talking about talking to Jesus and you find yourself with less time to talk to Jesus? Because talking to Jesus is not just talking to Jesus. Talking to Jesus is spiritual warfare. Because there's power when we pray. Oh, there's power. We have the opportunity and the ability to move the hand of God by how we pray, by our prayers, by our cries to heaven. And the devil would want to do everything he can possibly to keep us from praying. That's why he keeps us busy. Yeah, keeps us busy. Why? Because greater is the one that is in us, right? Greater is the one that is in us than the one who is in the world. Just remember that whatever conflicts we're facing, just remember that greater is the one that is in me than anything that I'm facing in the world. When you've received Jesus Christ, you've received power. When you've received the Holy Spirit, you've received power. You've received authority. The blood of Jesus now covers you. You have been covered by the blood. You have been separated by the blood. You have been commissioned by God. You have the blood of Jesus dripping all over your life. And you have power and authority against every power and every principality of darkness. So what happened next? So I began to say, oh no, he didn't. He's not. So I said, Lord, speak to me. And the Lord brought me to 1 Samuel 29 and 1 Samuel 30. In this particular passage, this is what I began to read, that David was in Achish. And Achish was an ally of Israel. And they were going to fight the Philistines. So David leaves Ziklag, follows Achish, and goes fight the Philistines. But then people within Achish start saying, why is David with us? This guy who killed Goliath, this mighty warrior of God, we don't want him with us, because if we fight the Philistines, because he's the one that killed the, chopped the head off of the of Goliath, he might turn against us. And while David was away from Ziklag, right, where he was staying while he was with Achish, something was going on at home. And what was going on at home was that the Amalekites came and plundered his home, took his wives, burnt down his houses, burnt down the whole town, took his wives, took his possessions, and took them away. So David turns from being with Achish. He says, all right, you guys don't want me with you. I'll just go home. And we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag, and on the third day, so 3 days away. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it. And this is what happens in verse 2. They had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. I want you to think about that for a moment. What was going on? While David was distracted and unaware, the enemy was attacking his home. And I feel that's true for many of us today. We're unaware. We don't recognize the spiritual battles. We're busy doing other things, and we're not quite discerning what's really happening in our lives. This was happening in my life. I was trying to push through, get a home, pastor church, do all that God had, but I did not discern. I did not realize that the enemy was ransacking my life. So how did David respond when he goes back to Ziklag? In verse 3, he says, when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. And in verse 4, this is how David responded. David and his men, what they do? They wept aloud until they had no strength to weep. They began to cry out to God. They began to weep and grieve. And I believe that weeping was praying. They were praying. They were crying out to God. They were just so overwhelmed. Sometimes we just need to weep. Sometimes we just need to pour our soul out to God when bad things happen to us. Sometimes we just need to cry out to God when we're struggling with our situation. So this is what happened. They wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. And then verse 5 tells us David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. So verse 6 says that David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Now they're mad. And one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Now the people are coming against them, right? He's under attack. But David, what did David do? David found strength in the Lord his God. David had a deep contemplative relationship with God, in which he was anchored in that relationship with God, that no matter what was happening around him, he was anchored in his faith in God. Come on, church, right? He was anchored in his relationship with God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He found strength in the Lord, his God. And some of you who are going through some tough times, and some of you who are going through difficult situations, and some of you who are in the midst of a battle, this is what God wants you to do right now. He wants you to find strength in him. That's what praying does. When we pray, we find God, and when we find God, we find power, and we find strength to walk through whatever we're walking through. That's what David had. Oh, but once he found strength in the Lord, once he wept aloud and found strength in the Lord, this is what he does in verse 7. He said to the priest, the son of Amalek, bring me the ephod. Now he's mad. Bring me the ephod. What is the ephod? This is the ephod. The ephod is this apron that the priests used to wear over their clothes. And on the top here, you had 12 jewels. Those are stones of the breastpiece. They represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And then they had the ephod, which was the front. And what this was that it was a protection from the blood that was sacrificed by the priest. So they would put the ephod in. They would walk into the presence of God, and they would offer the sacrifices, and the blood would splash on the ephod. Okay? It's a symbol of protection. It's a symbol of covering. It's also a symbol of anointing. It's a symbol of power. Only the priest wore this. And David said, bring me the ephod. He said, bring me the ephod, because it's going to get ugly up in here in just one moment. But before I go after an attack, I need to be covered with the blood. I need to be covered with righteousness. I need to be covered with the blood of protection. Do you know that Jesus Christ is our ephod? He is our covering. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our power. And he clothes us with righteousness. He clothes us with his blood. And before David does anything out of anger and resentment, notice what he does. He cries out to God. He weeps aloud. He finds strength in the Lord. And number three, David inquired of the Lord. What do I do? Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And God says, pursue them. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. What is this? What is this? What's going on here? This David is clothed with the priestly ephod. He's clothed in God's righteousness. He's clothed in the blood. And he asks the Lord, what do I do? And God tells him, go back and go into the enemy's camp. Go into the enemy's camp and take back everything he's stolen from. And that's what the Lord spoke to me. When I recognized and realized that it was on and that we were under spiritual attack, the Lord showed me this passage. I says, what do I do? He says, you go in and you take back everything that was stolen from you. So I said, Lord, how do I do that? He said, pray and demand and declare the promises of God over your family. And I remember Googling, how do I pray to get back my stuff? Sometimes Google helps. And I found this article by a friend of mine who was an evangelist who I went to Bible school with. I hadn't seen him in years. And in it, it said, how to take back everything the enemy stole from you. I'm like, what? And he laid out a prayer. And I said, oh, it's on. It's on. So I go to my kids' room. It's like 7 in the morning. It's a snow day. They're all happy. They sleep in. I'm like, wake up! I go to my wife, wake up! They're like, what is going on? Let's go to the living room. And they all sat in the living room. Their hair is up to here. They're over here. They're all mad at me. What's going on, Dad? I said, we're under attack. The Lord has shown me that we're under attack, but we are to demand. We're to demand that the enemy pay us back and return everything that he has stolen from us. So we're going to pray right now this prayer. I prayed and I found. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every power and principality of darkness. I come against the work of the enemy. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And I demand that the enemy return back everything he's stolen from my family and from my home and from this place in the name of Jesus. For like 30 minutes, they just sat there. Right? Did you just sit there? Oh, you prayed. I mean, you prayed with me, but you're a late riser sometimes, so you're like. So we're done. I says, now y'all can go to bed. Go to your room. They're like, okay, Dad. 15 minutes later. Can you grab my phone? 15, follow me, cameras, I'm so sorry. 15 minutes later, I get a bing. I'm like, who's that? I'm mad. I'm in battle zone. I'm in warfare zone. It was our realtor. She said, you know that last house you saw? The one that you loved? It was like the one that you dreamt of. Guess what? It's available. Because the people that bought it decided by accident to buy a car while they're in the mortgage process. And they don't qualify for the loan. And the owner says they don't want to wait. It's yours if you want it. And I said, I ain't going. That's what I said. I'm just mad. That's a setup. I'm not going. I'm going to get disappointed again. I'm not going. I wish I could say, the Lord answered our prayer. I didn't say that. I said, you go, honey. So she went. She walks into the house. She goes, hon, this is our house. I says, I don't know. Let me go. And to make a long story short, man, time has just escaped us. Make a long story short. We just walked in and everything started happening. I didn't need an inspection because they already did the inspection. I didn't need this. They already did. Everything just happened within two weeks or less, about maybe a month. I don't remember. Quickly, we had the keys in our hand within a month. All right, with the keys in our hand in a month. And I know that there are stories in which you go to closings and you have to pay, and there are things like that. I had my checkbook. I didn't have anything else left in it. And the banker says, oh, my goodness, we made a mistake. I'm like, great. I'm not going to be able to get this house because I have no money. No more. Everything was given. And she says, matter of fact, you don't owe us anything. Don't worry. We owe you money. Let me explain. So let me explain what just happened. God speaks to David and says, pursue them. Go, pray, and take back everything that the enemy has stolen from you. Jump the next verse. I don't know. Jump. Keep going. Let's just keep going. I got to jump to this end because we're wrapping up. Why don't you come up? So here it is. So then, the Lord showed me this passage, and I want to show it to you. He says this in Proverbs. He says, if the strong man is caught, the thief, if he's caught, he must pay sevenfold. This is what that means. That if the enemy is caught stealing, not only does he have to give back what he stole from you, he has to give it back sevenfold. So if the enemy's trying to rob you of your joy, get ready for sevenfold joy. If the enemy has tried to rob you from your peace, get ready for sevenfold peace. If the enemy has tried to rob you financially, get ready for sevenfold finances. Get ready for the sevenfold payback. Ever since this moment in time, ever since that moment, I've been so aware of the work of the enemy, and the Lord has been paying me back. I should say the enemy has been paying me back time and time. He's already paid me more than what he's stolen, and he continues, if you know what I mean, even though it costs him all of the wealth of his house. And I really believe this, that some of you are engaged in spiritual warfare, and you don't really understand. You don't really know because you're looking at it with carnal eyes. Let's go back a couple of verses, Josiah. Just remember this. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. Go back, go to the next verse. Verse 4. Next one. For the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What is Paul saying? He says, when we fight against what's attacking us, we don't respond in the natural. We fight with the supernatural. We use the weapons that God has given to us, the weapon of God's word and the weapon of prayer. So this is what I want you to walk away with today as we wrap up. I want you to take a moment and look at what's happening in your life and discern whether or not what's happening is resistance that's coming from the enemy. And if you discern and if you see it and if you can just see that what you're facing is coming from the enemy, this is what I want you to do. I want you to say, first, I want you to say, oh, no, you didn't. So if you're looking at a situation in your marriage and you're struggling in your marriage, I want you to say, oh, no, you didn't. Not to your spouse. I want you to say it to the enemy. When stuff happens in your home, oh, no, you didn't. When stuff happens at work, oh, no, you didn't. Your boss doesn't think you're crazy, but you just say, no, it ain't about you. It's about him. And then I want you to take authority because you have been clothed with the ephod. You have been covered with the blood. I want you to go in on the offense. It's okay to be offensive sometimes, right? And in the name of Jesus. Can we do that right now? Can we close in prayer? In the name of Jesus, Lord, we know we're covered with the blood. And in the name of Jesus, I come against every power and every principality of darkness. I come against the work of the enemy. I come against the resistance of the enemy. I come against everything that the enemy's trying to do to our house and to this house, this church, and to our homes and to our families. I pray the blood of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we go into the enemy's camp and we take back everything he stole from us. Lord, we take back our joy. We take back our peace. We take back our marriage. We take back our family. We take back our finances. We take back our health. We take back everything that has been taken from us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you start releasing sevenfold blessing upon this church, sevenfold blessing upon each person here today, sevenfold blessing upon everybody watching online. Lord Jesus, I pray for the sevenfold payback, the sevenfold blessing to be released in the name of Jesus. I pray you stop and that the work of the enemy must stop. He's been found out. The strong man has been found out. In the name of Jesus, we resist him and we send him back to the very pit he came from. We take it back. Come on, church, just a couple more. Let's take it back. Take it back. Take it back in Jesus' name. We take it back in Jesus' name. Enough. We say enough is enough. Enough is enough is enough is enough. 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 We pray you silence the voice of the enemy in Jesus' name. Quiet. We send you to the pigs in Jesus' name. Woo. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Everybody together said amen and amen. As I close, let me just say this sample prayer that I wrote. I'm sorry for time. Here is an example of how you can pray. Heavenly Father, I humble myself and repent of any bad choices I have made during the years. I ask you to bring full restoration into my life and restore my lost years. May the glory on my latter house be greater than that on my former. I command everything that was taken from me and everything that was stolen from me to be restored in Jesus' name. I command the thief to repay seven times what he stole in Jesus' name. I believe this is the exact prayer that I prayed. I command every fine to be paid, and I empty the storehouse of the thief. I command the thief to restore seven times everything he has ever taken from me and my family in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the abundant harvest and the fresh anointing that is coming my way in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise. Amen.